Well, I reckon we've all asked big questions in our lives, whether to others or to God privately, or just thinking about them in our minds. The sermon title for today is "Want Answers? Meet Jesus." Asking big questions can be good if you're generally wanting to know the answers to be a better person, or because you want to know who you are and why you're here. Here are some examples of big questions. Why are we here? Why is there death? Who will stop the pain? Do we deserve to suffer? What will happen to me after I die? Well, if you have asked these questions, then today you'll hear how Jesus points us in the right direction to answering these questions. I remember having a conversation with a sister in Christ when she was about to enter university in Adelaide, and it was revolving around, why did Jesus die? She didn't know. She didn't understand why Jesus' death was essential for our salvation. Did Jesus actually need to die? She grew up in a church and had read the Bible, but she didn't understand. But understanding that question and other big questions affects how we live now. Because knowing who we are, who God is, and where we are heading shapes our motivations. Life can go by so quickly, but being able to pause and learn from God's word is critical so we are motivated by Jesus and his will for us. Jesus is the answer to life. And if you can keep that in your mind, then that will bring immense comfort. Jesus is the answer to life. So as I said, please keep a Bible open or a Bible app open so you can come with me through this teaching segment by Jesus. John chapter 14. So firstly, be secure in Jesus, verses 1 to 4. Jesus has just shared a meal with his disciples, and he has told them that Judas will betray him. And he's also told them to love one another. Jesus continues teaching his disciples just after Peter asks, "Why can't I follow you?" And this is also the night before Jesus will be killed. Peter has just heard that Jesus is going somewhere where he can't go now, but will follow later. And with this in mind, in the minds of the disciples, Jesus says in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus focuses on his disciples and asks them to take control of the situation, not by just thinking good thoughts, but to believe in Jesus. They believe in God, but they also need to believe in him. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And Jesus doesn't stop there from verse 2. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." There is space in Jesus' Father's house for the disciples. And Jesus is actually going to prepare a place for them. Jesus will go and prepare a place for his disciples and will come back to bring his disciples with him so that they can join him. And now the truth here is that this is actually for all of Jesus' disciples, all those who follow him. We too can have security in Jesus. So be secure in him. Don't just believe in God, but also in Jesus. Jesus' Father is God the Father. So don't trouble yourself in being unsure about what will happen after death. Believe in God and also in Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. A friend in Adelaide who believes in Jesus experienced the death of her dad a few years ago. There were many tears, but people knew her heart wasn't troubled. She knew that her dad believed in Jesus. She remembered her dad giving thanks to God for his life, even amidst serious pain. Her dad said on his bed in his final days, "This is the day the Lord has made. We can be glad and rejoice in it." My friend knew where she was heading, and she knew Jesus had prepared a place for her dad. So be secure in Jesus. Don't be thinking that you can get to be with God by your own strength. Jesus didn't say, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in yourself. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus. We can be with God because of the strength of Jesus. Jesus is the answer to life, which is why he can prepare a place for us in eternity. And in verse 4, Jesus adds, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Well, you might know the way to where Jesus is going, but it seemed as though the disciples at the time didn't. You might be like them too. So let's move forward. Know Jesus. Verses 5 to 7. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Clearly there's a problem. Thomas doesn't know the way, and most likely none of the disciples know the way. Jesus answers his question with such a popular verse, which we did in for Mega Kids Day last week. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This was such a great verse to remember at Mega Kids Day two weeks ago. These words from Jesus are highly significant. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. What is the way to being with the Father? Jesus is the way to the Father. What is truth so we know what is false? Jesus is the truth so he can be trusted. So we learn from him. And how do we have life? Jesus is the answer. Life is found through Jesus even after death. So if you want to be with God the Father, to be secure with him forever, then you need to know Jesus. You need to say sorry for living your own way and unite yourself to Jesus. So if you believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Only through Jesus, secure in him, there is life as God intended life to be. A few years ago, I read such a valuable book, Nothing in My Hand I Bring, by Ray Galea. It has a new front cover now. Well, Ray wrote the book to offer clear explanations about the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. This church, St. James Anglican Church, fits under the broad category of the Protestant Church. The Protestant Church was formed in the 16th century, many years ago, in protest to teachings of the Catholic Church. Ray wants everyone to understand that there are important differences between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, and one big one is the way to the Father. We learn today that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to life. But sadly, the Catholic Church also emphasizes that our good works also help us to be with the Father. But as we've heard today, this is wrong, because our writer, John, in God's Word today, makes the truth very clear. The way to the Father, or the way to God, is through Jesus. It doesn't add, and if you do enough good works. Our acceptance by God is through him giving us belief in Jesus. We definitely need to turn away from living for ourselves, but our acceptance is not based on Jesus and how good we are. Our acceptance by God is because of his work for us in Christ Jesus. We need to know Jesus. We do need to live lives that please Jesus, but don't rely on your works to be saved. I've had a conversation with a Catholic priest, and he said that he does struggle with fear of not knowing if he will meet Jesus. Our good works won't save us. So be thankful that Jesus has. And we can have confidence that by coming to Jesus, knowing him, we will meet Jesus soon. And we serve Jesus now, and when Jesus returns, we will meet Jesus and live with him forever. So we can be delighted now at the thought of one day meeting Jesus who saved us. If you don't know Jesus yet, or you don't believe in him, then today could be the day for you to believe in him. To live a life rejoicing in Jesus and his power to save. We were made to do good, not evil. I have a copy of this book, as you saw, so you're welcome to borrow it if you want to learn more about that. But feel free to also order a copy online. Matthias Media sells them. Well, Jesus wants to instill more confidence in him. We can be confident in Jesus because he is the answer to life. We can know Jesus and know that life is found in him. In verse 7, if you really know me, you know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. If we know Jesus, then we also know his Father. If we seek to know Jesus through the Bible, God's word for us, then we also know God the Father. Isn't that remarkable? How is this possible? Well, Philip doesn't actually ask that question, but he does have something to say to Jesus. So believe in Jesus, verses 8 to 14. Verse 8, this is what he says. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Philip and the disciples don't seem to agree so far that by seeing Jesus, they have seen the Father. So verse 9, Jesus answers Philip. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Well, Jesus keeps going. He reinforces what he's already said and explains how Jesus can reveal the Father. Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak in my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus is in the Father. They are united. What Jesus says is not on his own authority, but on the authority of the Father, God the Father. The Father is living in Jesus, doing his work, and that's significant. Jesus, as a human, has God the Father in him doing his work. So Jesus is actually not just a human, he's also God. This seems so out of this world, yet Jesus was in the world physically as a human. So Jesus, he takes us to the need to believe him. From verse 11. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. Well, Philip and the rest of the disciples have seen Jesus and all the works he has done. So Jesus wants his disciples to believe that he is in the Father and that the Father is in him. And he says even if they're not sure, they can believe in the works themselves. Jesus shows through his life that he and the Father are one, because what Jesus did only God can do. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, not too early in this book, we read about that, he was showing that he is God, because only God can raise the dead back to life. Lazarus didn't come back just as a spirit, but alive in his physical body. When Jesus healed a blind man, he was showing that he is God, because only God can give sight to the blind. So believe in him. Jesus has demonstrated that he is glorious and one with God the Father. In their relationship, they rule this world. Jesus humbly submits to his Father's authority, yet they love one another. And the Holy Spirit also works with them to rule and give life. Jesus showed his greatest work to humanity by willingly dying on the cross and rising from death to life. The God of life was willing to experience death through Jesus. Due to the Father being distinct, yet also one with Jesus, God didn't die, but Jesus did. Jesus died to bear in himself the punishment we deserve for us rejecting God. And the punishment for rejecting God is death. And the Father felt Jesus' death intimately because he is one with his Son. The Father knew the humility and love of his Son to take the sin of humanity upon himself. The Father experienced this pain, and his anger against sin was felt by Jesus. Jesus did this because he wants us to have life. And death is a barrier to life. So why did Jesus die? Jesus loves us and wants us to join him for eternity. Jesus died so we don't have to be separated from God at death. God required there to be a sacrifice because instead of us dying for what we have done, deserving punishment, Jesus took our place. So at death, or when Jesus returns, we can join God forever in the new creation with new immortal bodies, not just spirits, but physical spiritual bodies. Well, the answers to big questions involve meeting Jesus. Jesus wants us to enjoy life, so we can only come to the Father through Jesus. Eternal life is available through Jesus because God the Father can give us life with him. And when Jesus rose again bodily, not just in spirit, he demonstrated that as we follow him, we too will rise bodily to eternal life. We can be secure in him by believing in him because he has a place prepared for us. So whatever happens now, don't worry. If you believe in Jesus, you belong to God. You are in Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus and the Father are one, so now through Jesus, you are one with him. If you don't yet believe in Jesus, then your security is in danger. Eternal life is only available through Jesus, and he will give you life now, as life is meant to be. So living for Jesus and pleasing him is abundant life. Well, we heard in verse 12 that our works involve greater things than what Jesus was doing. Because his works before his resurrection were limited to earth, but now through Jesus' resurrection, people can be granted eternal life. So as we speak of Jesus and introduce people to the good news of Jesus, then there can be eternal life and forgiveness of sin, which is far greater. One day through Jesus, all evil, sin and death will be taken away. So with belief in Jesus and knowing him, Jesus adds from verse 13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So don't stop asking God for what you want in this world in the name of Jesus. If you want more people to know Jesus in Kununurra, then pray fervently for this. If you've met people who need to believe in Jesus because they are lost amidst the busyness of life, then persist in prayer for them. If you see a brother or sister in Christ worrying, then pray that this person would remember that they are secure in Jesus whatever happens. Keep asking Jesus for anything in his name. Ask according to what Jesus wants. If you feel unsure about what Jesus wants, then keep reading God's word. Keep learning about God and how Jesus fulfills all God's promises. Jesus will answer our prayers. We don't know when Jesus will answer our prayers, but he will answer our prayers as we pray in his name. So expect answers. I keep seeing many answered prayers. Since coming to Kununurra, I've been praying for people to be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that they would love one another and do good. I have seen people increase in love for one another and seek after God more and more and encourage others in this. What's powerful about prayers is not only can Jesus answer our prayers, but our prayers also shape our priorities. Prayer is powerful, so keep praying, and keep praying in the name of Jesus for his glory and for the Father to be glorified in the Son. I pray with the teams I serve with in this church because praying shapes what we prioritize together. And not only that, but we need God to intervene for us, transforming us and those we serve to be more like Jesus. So if you want answers, then meet Jesus. Jesus is the answer to life. So in summary, Jesus revealed today that if you believe in God and also in him, then your place after death is secure with him. Rest in Jesus and know your security is with him. If you make a mistake or do wrong, then say sorry to whoever you hurt, including God, and come back to Jesus and know him. If you repeat sins and struggle to feel worthy in being with God forever, then remember Jesus. Jesus is worthy, and by believing in him, you have life. You are secure in him even after death. Your work doesn't save you, so believe in Jesus, then live more like him. And secondly, we've heard, know Jesus. Know Jesus and delight in him. Have you ever sat down under the shade of a tree, or sat down in a park, or sat down at a desk, and just relish the opportunity to know God? As you open God's word and read one of the books there, such as the Gospel according to John, are you captivated by Jesus? As you come along to church, is there an eager anticipation in what you will learn about God today? You get to learn more about your Saviour and friend, Jesus, and worship him. You get to know Jesus with your eternal brothers and sisters in Christ. Know Jesus. He has given you life. Know Jesus intimately and share with him intimately and what is happening in your life. He knows you, so eagerly know him. And finally, believe in Jesus. Day by day, actively put your faith in him. Let that shape your priorities as you pray honestly and fervently. If you struggle to pray, then set time aside in the day to deliberately pray. Reading or listening to God for a few minutes, then praying in thanks with requests, can be a simple way to establish a pattern. Remember that you may ask Jesus for anything in his name, and he will do it. Ask and keep asking and see what Jesus does. And if you struggle with the idea of believing in Jesus because you just don't understand enough about Jesus, or you are not sure if you need him, we have a Hope Explored course starting on Monday the 29th of April from 7 to 8:15 p.m. here. It's a safe space to learn about Jesus and ask questions you have. You're welcome to come along if you want to understand more about Jesus. Jesus is the answer to life. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, please work powerfully in our hearts by your Spirit to know you, to eagerly know you more, to believe in your son Jesus, to know that through Jesus we can come to you. Father, may we put away our sin, our brokenness, and come to you knowing you cleanse us, you make us whole, take away our guilt, and we can have the gift of eternal life. Father, give us delight in you. And may we encourage each other to want to know you more, to know you intimately. And so that others who learn more from us and meet us see that we have an eternal peace that nothing else can compare. Because of Jesus, we have peace forever. We can rest in you, secure in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.